firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
The College of Hard Knocks. That's what our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, says that David is going through right now. So if you're going through a difficult time, stay with us, because God's Word in 1 Samuel chapters 22 and 23 offers us hope. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and today our study picks up with David being hunted like a wild animal. In addition to your Bible, Dr. McGee is going to mention his free notes and outlines, so you may grab those as well. So if you haven't yet gotten your free copy, they're available for immediate download at ttb.org. And to give you a minute to find your place in God's Word and grab your notes and outlines, I'll share a quick letter from a listener named Jen in North Carolina. She writes, I have been listening to Through the Bible for about a month now. My day doesn't seem complete without listening to y'all. I've leaned on him all my life, but have strayed from his word. Lately, I have come to rely on him to get me through each and every day. I give all my troubles and problems to him because he promised that my burden would be light. I know he wants me to come to him, and I want to follow on whatever path he needs me to take. Please add me to the prayer team list. I want to be a part of God blessing TTB with the privilege of reaching out to everyone around the world. Well, thanks for your letter, Jen. It's a pleasure to have you aboard the Bible bus, and even more of a pleasure to have you on the World Prayer Team. And by the way, if the rest of you would like to join Jen and me and thousands of other Through the Bible listeners as we travel the globe on our knees, praying that God's whole word will reach his whole world, sign up at ttb.org/pray. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that offers us hope in difficult times. Help us to see Jesus in our study today and to leave our burdens and sorrows in his capable hands. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, today we come to the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel. If you have a Bible, you'll want to turn there. And if you have our notes and outlines, I think that you will find them extremely helpful at this particular point. Now, we are looking here at something that I think is quite wonderful that we have in this section. We saw last time that David was rejected by Saul. Not only rejected, we find that David had to flee for his life, that Saul intended to put him to death. And he came to the high priest, Ahimelech, and he actually took the bread that was on the table of showbread, which was contrary to the law, and he did that. He ate it, he and his young man. And now this man makes his residence in caves and dens of the earth. He's the one that the writer to the Hebrews speaks of when he talks about the fact that they were in the dens of the earth, actually. And that certainly was true of this man David. He wandered around, and you find him in that position. And the writer to the Hebrews goes on to say, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. That certainly was David. That was his experience. Now, God is training him during this period. It was an interval of several years. There are those that believe it was a possible period of 10 years. And during this time, as we indicated last time, David was hunted like a wild animal. He lived in constant danger, and he was, as he tells us, like a partridge and like a pelican as he was being hunted down. That is the way that he expresses it. And he cries out. If you want to listen to him in some of the Psalms he wrote during this period, in Psalm 17, he says, in verse 9, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. And then he in Psalm 57 says, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. This was this man crying out. And in Psalm 102, verse 6, he says, I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch, and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. My, what a period this was in the life of David as he had to flee from Saul and those that were joined with Saul. Now, during these days of testing and training, God was putting him in the College of Hard Knocks. He's now enrolled in God's school, and he took the full course. He's an alumni of the same university that Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Elijah and John the Baptist and Saul of Tarsus graduated from. And all of those men graduated magna cum laude, and so did David. Now, during this period of his rejection, he is the anointed king, but he has his headquarters in the cave of Adullam. And it was a rocky mountain fast southwest of Jerusalem in a valley between Philistia and Hebron. And when Saul pressed him hard, he retreated here. And many men came to him, and they joined forces with him. They made him their captain. They followed him loyally to death. And you'll find out later on they are labeled as the mighty men of David. And again, I want to read in verse 2 of this 22nd chapter. It is during this period that he gathered his mighty men, and every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, may I add this? That this man, David, is calling out his mighty man. You and I are living in a day of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's calling out a people to his name. During this period, why, David could have destroyed Saul, but he didn't. Because he permitted him to run his course and God would have to deal with him. And today, the Lord Jesus could put Satan down, but he's not. He's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But during this period, the Lord Jesus is calling out a people to his name. Now, what kind of people are coming to him? Well, the same kind that came to David. There were three classes of men. Those that were in distress. They were the ones that were persecuted and oppressed by Saul. And David was a long time in breaking with Saul, you know. And there were many that were loyal to Saul, but they were finally forced to flee. Their life was in danger. And they fled to David, and they joined up with him. Been many periods like that. There were a group of men in this country that had a tea party up in Boston years ago. Patrick Henry took his life in his own hand. And you find today about us, we're living in a world where someone has expressed it, corruption and injustice of the world will make you either a communist or a Christian. And if you have felt the whiplash of injustice of the world, if you have felt its unfairness and you are oppressed, and you find no place to turn, no appeal can be made to anyone, you're trying to find a way out, and even today many are turning to all kinds of nostrums, some to drugs, some to drink, some to suicide. And there's one, though, that's calling you today, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, and he can help you. He wants to help you. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tested and tempted today, because he was down here. Are you in distress? You need a Savior. And he's calling out those that'll come to him today. Then there are the others that came to David during this time of his rejection. They were those that were in debt. And that's a cancer that destroys under any circumstance. And in that day, if a man got in debt, he could be sold into slavery. That was the Mosaic law. Men should have been protected, but they weren't. And this man Saul, he was just permitting them to be sold into slavery. And you see, sin today has made us debtors to God. In fact, you remember that wonderful prayer, not the Lord's prayer, but the disciples' prayer, says, "Forgive us our debts. He alone can forgive us." And forgiveness always rests upon the payment of a debt. And those that were in debt, they had to flee. And David actually did not pay the debt, but Christ did. He paid the debt, and he set us free. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ did that for you and for me today. This is a very wonderful passage of Scripture. You can see, my beloved, it speaks of the one that paid the debt, and he made us free today. So that if you're in debt, if you feel like today that you can't measure up and you know that you're a debtor to God, well, he paid that debt for you, and you can come to him. You can flee to him today, and what a wonderful privilege that is. And we are told, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We are debtors now to him, and we can come to him. And then those that were discontented came to David. That means they were bitter of soul. Circumstances and experiences of life had soured them. May I say that I have noticed that in the past few years. I discovered it when I became a pastor in downtown Los Angeles. There was a restlessness that was sweeping our land. And it's still abroad today. It's become a great flood. There have been since then the masses marching in protest about this thing, that thing, and the other. All over the world they're marching. And there's an undercurrent of dissatisfaction and discontentment. And my friend, life will make you better today unless you see the hand of God in your life like Joseph did. But there's one to go to today. He's the rejected king. He's fairer than 10,000. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll rest you." He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." What a wonderful picture this is, and what a wonderful story it is, my friend. There came to David at this time his mighty men, those that were in distress, those that were in debt, those that were discontented, and there came to him 400 men. And today the Lord Jesus Christ is calling out of this world a people to his name. What a picture we have here. Now we follow on in this story of David and his years of wandering about. In many sense, what a sad period this is, though, in a way, and we'll see that something happened that was very sad indeed, and it must have been to David. I'm begin reading at verse 3 of 1 Samuel 22. "And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab." Now, you know, this is the thing that another family that lived in Bethlehem did. They left Bethlehem, Judah, Elimelech and his family, and that's where Ruth got into the Bible story. She was a Moabitess, and we find that David, though, now he goes to Moab, and that means he really was a frightened man. He got out of the land, and I do not think that he should have left the land at all. I think God would have protected him had he stayed in the land. He's like Abraham who went to Egypt, you see. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hole, that is, down in the cave at Adullam. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hole, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Harith. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there's none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there's none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. I think that this man Saul, friends, is developing some paranoid tendencies. He's developed a persecution complex, and maybe he should have it, because he's discovered now his own son hasn't been loyal to him, and he's wondering why these men that were his cabinet haven't revealed it to him, and apparently they haven't. And we're told, though, that one here, and that is the fellow we saw down in the place where David had fled, and he was there when David was there. And we're told in verse 9, Then answered Doeg, the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him victuals, gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Well, now King Saul's going after Ahimelech. The king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? And notice the high motives of this man Ahimelech. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Now, I believe that David later on felt very badly that he had deceived Ahimelech in making him think that he was on a mission for Saul, for that's exactly what this man is saying to Saul. Why, he's your son-in-law, and he was on a mission for you, and I was helping him. Notice now, did I then begin to inquire of God for him, be it far from me? Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And he's being very honest, you see. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footman that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. You see, they hesitated. But this man Saul has gone so far in his rebellion and sin that he wouldn't stop at anything. Now the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priests. Now this Edomite will do it. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. Now that was a serious thing that he did, and this was an awful crime, by the way, for King Saul. If God hadn't rejected him up to this point, why, certainly this would have caused him to do that. Now we're told, And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. You see, the bitterness and the vengeance of this man Saul is terrible. And may I say to you that there is something that we need to be aware of today. You remember Paul speaks of that little root of bitterness, and it can get in the heart of many of God's people. And when it does, it's a vicious, awful thing. I've seen it in churches. I've seen maybe some man, some officer, use his office, and not to bring glory to the name of Christ, but to just vent his spleen and his bitterness and his vengeance and his hatred against someone else. It can be anyone from the pastor down to the janitor of the church or a member of the church, and how terrible it is. Well, that is exactly what has happened in this particular case here. This man Saul is definitely Satan's man, and that's the reason you can't be too sure about some today that are active in the Lord's service when you see them motivated by such a vicious bitterness of heart and soul. It's difficult to call out tares and the wheat at a time like that, but that was the case here. Now, we followed David during this time of his wanderings, and we come to chapter 23, verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah." And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hands." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought with the Philistines, and brought away their cattle, and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now you see that he's acting in a way to protect God's people. But all this time, he continues to flee, and now he has actually 600 men with him. If you'll notice, verse 13, "Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go." So David, now having delivered these people, he is told now of the Lord to leave there, and he does. And Saul now is still on the trail of David, and he's told that that's where he was. And we are told in verse 14, "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in the Lord." Notice how faithful and true Jonathan is to his friend David. And he says to him at this time, "Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." He said, my father Saul knows what's going to happen, but he's fighting it. He's, of course, against God's will. Here's in rebellion against God, but Jonathan is willing to do it. And by the way, Jonathan reveals here that he is a great man. I consider him a great man. His attitude and action actually remind us of John the Baptist, who said of the Lord Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And so we find now that this man David is on the run. Verse 18, "And they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood. Jonathan went to the house." And so David is hiding out, and we'll continue to follow him next time and we'll begin at chapter 24. And until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, we covered a lot of ground in God's Word today, so if you'd like to maybe slow down and take more time to study 1 Samuel, you can listen again to this study online at ttb.org. Now, to find more resources to help you deepen your study of God's Word, visit us at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And be sure to join us this weekend for Dr. McGee's Sunday sermon titled, Can the Dead Speak to the Living? To listen online or see if your station carries the Sunday sermon, visit us at ttb.org. Now on Monday, we'll return to our study in 1 Samuel as we continue to watch David's transformation from an innocent young shepherd boy to a rugged man of God. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll see you then.
To be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.